good to see ya.
All right, people, we are live on the internet. I'm Dave Rubin. This is The Rubin Report. It's April 22nd, 2024. We're live streaming on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Share, subscribe, tap that notification bell. Post-game show, rubinreport.locals.com. And before I get into the theme today, I got to tell you guys, I am sore. I played basketball for 3 hours yesterday. I've been playing again, playing well. 3 hours nonstop yesterday. Every part of my body hurts. So if I look a little stiff today, if you're not getting the usual emotive Dave Rubin, it's because my back hurts, my hips hurt, something's going on with this shoulder, my leg. Like, I feel like I got hit by a truck, but here I am still doing the work, right? That's what they say on the left. You've got to do the work, put in the work. So here we are, and we are going to do a show. And of course, obviously, the theme of today's show is the left's really sort of complete descent into full jihad. Like, we all saw it coming. Some of us have been trying to tell people, guys, there's a problem on the left, this identity politics thing, neo-racism, all the kids stuff with the gender. It's getting to be a bit much, everybody. But after the last couple of days at Columbia, it has just burst forth. There's a lot of reasons for it. I think there are some corrections for it, which we'll get into. And hopefully more and more people will wake up and, of course, as I always say, start voting the appropriate way. Perhaps leave certain cities and states. That's one way to do it. But also voting the appropriate way, because it is just completely, completely out of control right now. We're going to start with some clips with Bill Maher. I said to Phoenix before we started, we should start doing a segment on this show. Maybe we will. We'll put up some graphics. We have a graphics guy. We pay somebody. Mondays with Bill. Because Bill Maher, as you guys know, he's slowly red pilling. I get it. He may not vote the right way, despite what I just said. But he really is hitting all of the things that is wrong with the left. And as I always say, whether he gets there or not, he's helping wake up people. And that is a net good. And we're going to connect some of what he talked about on his show on Friday as it relates to children and gender to the complete collapse of what has happened now at our universities, Columbia specifically, but it's spreading all over the place. So why don't we, oh, and of course, today is the first day of Passover. The Seders are, Seder number one is tonight, Seder number two is tomorrow night. And we will end with a bit of a Passover story because I think it's directly related actually to everything that's happening right now. And yeah, you're not gonna believe, if you don't know anything about the story of Passover, I probably should tell people a little bit of something. It's those crazy Hebrews who took a long walk from Egypt to Israel to start a civilization over there. And it was a long, long time ago. I know that's very upsetting to AOC and Ilhan Omar and a bunch of other people. All right, let's get to it. So Bill Maher on his show on Friday was talking about how out of control Hollywood has gotten as it pertains to pedophilia, all the gender confusion, the trans stuff, everything else. And he actually credited a certain man from Florida. Brains are gonna explode. Go.
So I don't know if this documentary is the talk of your town, but it is out here because it didn't just expose a dangerous workplace. It also exposed hypocrisy. Because it must be pointed out that when the evil governor of Florida was saying the exact same thing about kids and creepy stuff at Disney that liberals now find intolerable at Nickelodeon, he was dismissed as a hick and a bigot. But why would a kids' content factory like Disney be all that different than the one at Nickelodeon? A 2014 CNN report discovered that at least 35 Disney employees had been arrested for sex crimes against children, and in 2021, Disney child star Alison Stoner confessed she only narrowly survived the toddler to train wreck pipeline. The next year, child star Cold Sprouse told the New York Times that young actresses at the Disney Channel were heavily sexualized from an early age. You know, Willie Sutton said he robbed banks because that's where the money is. DeSantis wasn't wrong, but we're so tribal now, the left will overlook child f***ing if the guy from the wrong party calls it out. Get this, after Brian Peck, who was one of the lead creeps at Nickelodeon, served 16 months in prison for the molesting he did there, Disney hired him, naturally, to work on a children's series. Oh, for pedophiles in Hollywood, it's a small world after all. Maybe it's time to admit that sometimes Drag Queen Story Hour is more for the queen than the kids? Sure, kids love a clown, but does the clown have to have tits? And when I see a five-year-old tipping at a bar under a sign that says it's not going to lick itself, do I have to pretend that's cool in order to keep my liberal ID card? Sorry, I can't do that.
All right, guys, I get it. You know it. He's late to the party. That's fine. Maybe he will not vote the right way, but he's talking to the people in his audience, literally in that room, but also the millions of people who watch that show, and he's saying the progressives are batshit crazy. So that helps people break out of the groupthink as it relates to the left. The left has owned the culture largely through that corporation, Disney. So the ice is starting to break, and that is good. He continued, this is how he ended his show, continuing to go on this gender identity stuff. And this is Bill at his best. Again, putting aside the voting part, just listen to the idea portion of this.
And contrary to current progressive dogma, children aren't miniature adults wise beyond their years, they're morons. They're gullible morons who'll believe anything and just want to please grown-ups. And they don't have any frame of reference. So they normalize whatever's happening. That's why endlessly talking about gender to six-year-olds isn't just inappropriate. It's what the law would call entrapment, which means enticing people into doing something they wouldn't ordinarily do. If you think that some of that isn't going on with gender in schools, you're not watching enough TikTok videos.
I pledge allegiance to the queers.
I'm not allowed to be out as trans non-binary at school. So my response to this is to be as obnoxiously queer as possible.
It also seems to be the theme of kind of a lot of kids' books these days. I never used the phrase gay agenda because I thought it was mostly nonsense. And it is, mostly. But a director for Disney Television Animation did say after she was hired,
the showrunners were super welcoming to like my like not at all secret gay agenda. Like I was just wherever I could, just basically adding queerness. No one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
Look, I'm all for adding queerness wherever. I put some in my drink before I came out here tonight.
They really could call the show Slow Motion Rubin Report. But you get the point that he's now crediting DeSantis, right? He was going after DeSantis for a long time. He was never going to vote for DeSantis. Okay, fine. But that it's waking people up. It's the average liberal, that person who maybe can move right now, is like, you know what? Enough of this, right? Enough of the intentionally indoctrinating children into all this. So why am I showing you this? Because I mentioned that we're going to start the show talking about how the left has gone into full jihadism. Well, you might be watching that going, Dave, we know about all of this. We've seen all of this. We get it. Hollywood, the left, all of that stuff. Completely legit. I'm very appreciative of a wise audience. But while Bill may be slow motion on that stuff, he actually now is hitting something like right as it is happening. And this is what you have to do with the left. Don't always be behind what they're doing. You can sometimes kind of nail it just as it's happening. So the big thing that's happening, of course, is these insane Hamas protests that are all over, they're literally all over the world in our big cities, but they've taken over college campuses right now. And Bill nailed it as it pertained to what is going on with these Hamas rallies and the Democrat Party. And this, the title of the show is Real Time. Here is him getting it right in real time.
This marination in identity politics, now common in mainstream media, changes people. It makes journalists representatives of various groups.
I do think that is something that you can't overstate how much that does really, really put off voters. I mean, I understand that when we look at all of the issues that, you know, Democratic issues and the January 6th election denial, these are hugely important. But I think that there's also on the left a massive underestimating of how much this puts people off, how much it really frightens them away. It's a real own goal, I think, for a lot of Democrats, like the more extreme progressive elements that I think there's a tendency for the rest of the party to just sort of dismiss and say, well, you know, I mean, that's just a part of who we are.
These are the people on the bridge who are protesting for terrorists. Okay? I think this is a result of the kind of stuff that flows down from places like NPR.
Well, people on the bridge would say colleges. They're protesting for a ceasefire.
Well, okay, but you know, you got to sort of take sides. We started out with this was okay. We're for Hamas.
Some
that people. That was the okay, but that was the beginning of it, and a lot of people were unapologetic about that. Mm-hmm. Then it went to, you know, the kids. They dug up some of Bin Laden's old quotes, and they were like, "Oh, this dude, he's got some good things to say. He hates America too, because you know everybody knows we're the worst country ever." I mean, okay, now we're at the place where they're chanting some places, death to America. And now we're for the Houthis. Now with the Iran attack, they're for Hezbollah. Okay, do they know what goes on in Iran?
Okay, so you see why I played the clips in these orders, right? He's getting this in real time right now. He's showing you the slippery slope. And whoever that woman is, it's like, lady, you just don't get it. They're not chanting for a ceasefire, right? They want the destruction of Israel. They want the Jews out. Everyone is admitting it now. They're ripping the mask off. So I like that Bill then lays out a couple things. Now they're for the Houthis. They're for freaking Hezbollah. Like, what's next? And lady, what do you think they would do to you? Go to Gaza with your shoulder off with your dress off the shoulder and see what they would do to you. So he's getting this in real time. And my hope is that the good liberals watching it will maybe get to the conclusion that he probably won't get to, and that will still be okay. It really will be. I want to show you one tweet from Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson is a UK activist. I had him on the show about 8 or 9 years ago. He has been warning about this jihadist threat and how it's a threat to liberal values in the UK for at least a decade. This, if I'm not mistaken, this picture, that looks like a New York City subway to me. And he wrote, caption this, and it just sort of perfectly juxtaposes how this thing can't hold much longer. Now, it is, I suppose, nice that the woman, you know, in the traditional garb and the drag queen who's mansplaining a bit over there or manspreading, that they're sitting next to each other without killing each other. But as one of those factions gains more power, what do you think is going to happen to the other faction? And which faction do you think is really gaining more power right now? That is what can't hold anymore. And we're going to show you some other things that the left is doing right now that can't hold much longer either. But first, let's talk about gold, because the economy can't hold much longer either with these crazy people printing money. Guys, you know that a new central bank digital currency is coming and could replace your dollars with digital currency. With it could come surveillance of our lives, freezing of assets, and government control over our bank accounts and how we spend our money. Americans who want to protect their liberty and privacy need to prepare themselves for what's to come. That's why many Americans are turning to physical gold and silver to diversify their wealth. If you want to help protect your retirement, I recommend you request your free investment guide from my friends at Preserve Gold today. They'll explore the right options for you and will help you with the process to have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA, 401k, or other qualified retirement account. And they make it easy. They're a BBB accredited company with zero consumer complaints and hundreds of satisfied clients. They're also a founding member of the Precious Metals Association, so you know you're in good hands. And as an exclusive offer for Rubin Report viewers, they'll give you up to $10,000 in free gold and silver with a qualifying purchase or retirement account rollover. They'll even throw in an immediate 500 account credit if you request your investor guide today. So don't wait. Visit preservegold.com/Dave today to get your free gold and silver investment guide and take the first step toward protecting your wealth. Again, that's preservegold.com/Dave to get your free guide from the good people at Preserve Gold. And now back to me. Okay, so let's now connect this. The craziness of the left and the scariness and lunacy of identity politics and wokeness and gender stuff and all of the absolute destruction of everything that we know to be good and true. 2 + 2 = 4, boys or girls, America's fundamentally racist, we weren't founded in 1776. All of this stuff was eventually going to get to a breaking point, and I sense we are pretty much there. Now, a breaking point is interesting because when something breaks, then you got, if it's a glass that breaks, you got shrapnel, you got glass all over the place, you got shards of glass and everything else, and things could get messy after that. So I don't think we're like at the breaking point, meaning the bottom of the well right now, but something is clearly breaking as the left is going fully, fully jihadist. Here is what's going on at Columbia University right now. This is over the weekend, but it's continuing literally as we speak. Okay, so first off, I just want to say one thing about there is only one solution, Intifada revolution. Hitler was into one solution too. And yes, it's the same solution. It's not going to work out for these people, but yes, they know exactly what they're doing. They are calling for genocide. Who knows how many of those people are actually students? They're all masked, and I firmly believe now that COVID was just a test run to see how we could normalize masks so we could have jihadists out in the streets. We don't know how many of them are, as I said, students, but how many of them are even citizens of the United States. These kids whose brains have been broken by a system, an education system and a cultural system that has taught them all of the wrong things. They have no idea what they're calling for. Gays for Palestine is very different than Palestine for gays. And they're threatening Jewish students on campus. But of course it doesn't, as I constantly say, it starts with the Saturday people, but this will end with the Sunday people. You don't have to care about Israel to think that there is a problem here. And just try to imagine for just one second, if this was a group of white students screaming about black people, or if this was MAGA supporters burning down things at Columbia, Joe Biden would literally send in the National Guard, right? Like, but the left does not know when the left goes too far, right? We often play videos of Jordan Peterson talking about that. And they have now unearthed something deeply, deeply evil. And, you know, it's not as if nobody warned about this. James Lindsay, who's been on the show many times, who has been probably the best scholar as it pertains to exposing what the left is and how this is truly a Marxist movement. He retweeted that video, and I like to give credit where credit's due. He said, "I wish people could have heard me." Well, James, I tried to amplify your stuff as much as possible and will continue. Anyway, here is more video of what's going on the campus. And by the way, many of these students just got their student debt paid off, because that's another thing that Joe Biden did. He stole money from some people to wipe out the debt of other people. And as you can see, they're getting a good college education over here.
So that we can start to push them out of the camp.
One step forward.
Another step forward. We ask
that you please respect
our privacy
and our community guidelines
which you have so far disrespected and leave our camp.
Guys, this is Columbia University. This is supposed to be literally the best and brightest, right? Like Ivy League, this is one of the places of higher learning in the United States. And it has produced at least a generation of brainwashed clone soldier jihadists. They have no idea what they're talking about. They're repeating things that make no sense. And we've got a couple more of these videos. This one, like, okay, so they're, I don't know what they're babbling about. They go, it's just mindless droning. Connor was having a flashback over there. It was like watching somebody that got out of Vietnam, because he lived a block away from Chaz. Remember Chaz in Seattle? And then I gave him a job and I moved him to Los Angeles, and now I moved him to the free state of Florida. You thank God every day that we met. I mean, for God's sake, and I pay you to do this? It's incredible. Anyway, here's more. Here's them just like outright, like violence. Let's kill everybody. All right, kill soldiers, Hamas, we love you, burn Tel Aviv to the ground. Ironically, Tel Aviv, which is Israel's biggest city, is the one really lefty place in all of Israel. Israel is largely a right-leaning country and has become, fortunately, more considerably right-leaning since October 7th. But what they're talking about is killing all of the lefties that live there too, because basically they just want to kill the Jews. It's just how it is. Don't worry, we're going to get to some Passover stuff at the end and the Jews will still be okay after all of this. Ali London had a really, I thought this was just a powerful way of presenting what's going on right now. As you can see there, the picture on the left, 1938, Nazis blocked Jewish students from entering Vienna University. 2024, Palestinian activists blocked Jewish students from entering Columbia University. I really do want to reiterate for just a moment, though, that it's starting with the Jews, but this is really about America. This is when they're done with the Jews, whatever that means in their mind, whether they get the genocide they want in Israel and they hunt and hound every Jewish student off campus. That is not the end. The end is the destruction of America. And it is obvious and it is real and we all know it. And that's why so many of us don't know what to do right now. What do you do in the face of this? I want to show you some video of Emily Austin. We had her on the show, it was about a month or two ago. She's become quite a good advocate for Israel. She's really comes from the sports world originally, seems to have found her calling. And here she is talking about what maybe parents and people with some cash can do if you don't want to be out on the streets fighting these jihadists. Maybe there's some other things that you can do to nip them in the bud.
A lot of major firms are saying if your name is on these protests, if you are actually seen protesting for or rallying for Hamas, you don't have a job and you're not going to get hired. And in the case of these universities, you're going to lose funding. Does that matter, you think?
Absolutely. If they start to defund these safe havens for anti-Semitism or Jew hatred, in other words, then eventually they're going to feel the pressure to stop, because clearly right now what we're doing, which is nothing, quite honestly, isn't working. Students don't feel safe on campuses. That cannot happen. The fact that there was a university that told students, you can hide in the attic if you feel unsafe, are you freaking joking right now? Every single donor to all of these schools should close their wallets immediately and stop funding these Nazi breeding college campuses.
All right, so that's one thing. You watching this right now, when you're doing your taxes, right? We just had tax day. When you're closing up shop at the end of the year and you're looking, oh, I donate money to a few things, my alma mater. Well, find out what your alma mater is doing. Actually, I just saw, we should have done something on the show about this. I'll mention it briefly. I just saw a couple days ago that my alma mater, SUNY Binghamton, State University of New York at Binghamton, has just passed like a radically anti-Israel BDS movement. If anyone at this university wants me to go and speak there, I will waive my speaking fee and gladly go. I'll even throw in some money to do it just to see what has happened to my alma mater. But that's the only way you can, at least as a person that, okay, you don't want to be on the streets arguing with jihadists. I get it, everyone's busy. Right. And you also have to remember, these people never get laid, and you probably get laid, and you probably have a family and you go to work and all that stuff. And they're really committed to the cause, the jihad cause. But what you could do is stop funding it, right? That would be at least a little bit of something. I suspect some of these universities are not coming back. Columbia may never come back for this, but at least don't actually add to your own demise, right? That you don't fund your own demise. So you might be wondering, well, how did this happen? I mean, I get it with some of the woke stuff, but is there something else really going on here? Well, I've got an answer for you coming on the other side. But first, let's talk about Moink. Guys, 60% of U.S. pork production comes from one company owned by the Chinese, and their hogs are given something called ractopamine, which is banned in 160 countries, including China, yet you find it in your grocery aisle every day. Well, there's a better way. I want to tell you about Moink. That's Moo plus Oink. 60%. Nope. The prompter's doubling up on me over here. You guys know about Moink. It's Moo plus Oink. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. Moink farmers farm like our grandparents did, and as a result, Moink meat tastes like it should, because the family farm does it better. The Moink difference is a difference you can taste, and you can feel good knowing you're helping family farms stay financially independent as well. You choose the meat delivered in every box, like ribeyes, chicken breasts, to pork chops, to salmon fillets, and much more. Plus, you can cancel anytime. Shark Tank host Kevin O'Leary called Moink's bacon the best bacon he's ever tasted, and they guarantee you'll say, oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got Moinked. Keep American farming going by signing up at moinkbox.com/Reuben right now, and listeners of this show get 2 free steaks in the first box. It's the best steak you'll ever taste, but for a limited time, moinkbox.com/Reuben, moinkbox.com/Reuben. And now back to me. Have you heard of this Jordan Peterson fella? I think we've played maybe one or two clips of him over the years. Interesting guy, wears some wild suits. Here he is on the Babylon Bee podcast. And I think he really actually, as he is one to do, perfectly explains how we got to this very moment.
I'll tell you about Geppetto.
Okay.
Pinocchio's father. He's in a whale at the mm-hmm. bottom of the ocean.
Sure.
It's never explained in the movie. But everyone accepts it as reasonable, which is completely preposterous. Right? Why would you end up in the belly of a whale if you lost your son? A whale is a carcass. A carcass is a storehouse of value. The modern landscape is littered with storehouses of value. Harvard is a whale carcass. And whale carcasses attract unconscious scavengers. and they live inside, completely incapable of understanding what gave rise to the storehouse of value, but perfectly willing to strip it to its bones. And that's really the situation we're in right now in the West.
Oh, I don't like that very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I should be clear, the host of the Babylon Bee podcast, it's sort of a satirical thing, so he's acting sort of silly there. But the point that Jordan is making, right, it's a deep point, and he often talks about Pinocchio. But the idea here is now that this whale, which is now Columbia, and it's Harvard, and it's most of our institutions, it might be the NIH and the CDC, it might be Congress, that none of it's really working anymore. They once did good things. They were a beautiful animal that, a mammal, a whale is a mammal. They were a beautiful mammal that was swimming in the ocean, right? And now it's nothing. It's being eaten out from the inside. And that's what these people, they have infested these colleges. And it's like at the end when a company is collapsing and they go in to strip the copper wire from the walls. That's exactly what is going on here. And there will be a few little moments where people will try to do the right thing and stop it, but they cannot stop it, I would say, at this point, which is why always, as always, we must build new things. We need new universities, we need new tech platforms and the rest of it. So I wanna go back to a couple of videos that we showed you last week because they perfectly illustrate how out of control the situation is at these universities. This is Elise Stefanik, Congresswoman from New York, Elise Stefanik, when she was asking Columbia President Manoush Shafik about what's going on with some of the disciplinary action as it pertains to some of the faculty who have instigated the lunacy that we just showed you.
Let me ask about Professor Catherine Frank from the Columbia Law School, who said that all Israeli students who have served in the IDF are dangerous and shouldn't be on campus. What disciplinary action has been taken against that professor?
I agree with you that those comments are completely unacceptable and discriminatory.
But I'm asking you what disciplinary action has been taken.
She has been spoken to by a very senior person in the administration, and she has said that that was not what she intended to say.
And has she publicly apologized?
I have suggested that.
You have suggested that? Has she done that?
I think she will be finding a way to clarify her position.
You see the concern here, though, with the lack of enforcement. You see the concern that speaking to these professors is not enough, and it's sending a message across the university that this is tolerated, these anti-Semitic statements from a position of authority in professors in the classroom is tolerated.
All right, so I know we showed you that last week. The reason I wanted to show it to you again, as well as the video I'm about to show you, is because that illustrates the rotting carcass perfectly. That is what Columbia is right now. So they're inside, and even this university president, she's not completely awful, right? She's not as awful as the president of Yale from the hearing a couple months ago, or even Claudine Gay at Harvard. But it's just a rotting carcass inside, and there's bad people, and maybe we fired them, maybe we moved them, maybe we disciplined them, we're not really sure, we don't really know what's going on. And how about more from inside that rotting carcass? This is the visiting professor over at Columbia. When you watch the videos of literally calling for Hamas to kill more people, One Solution, all of that stuff, could it be that there were visiting professors who were not even citizens of the United States who were well-funded to be placed at Columbia to create the situation that has happened right now? Could there be a guy, maybe his name is Mohammed Abdu, and he's been doing that at Columbia, calling for literal violent revolution in America? Could that possibly be? Do we have some sort of videotape of that kind of thing happening?
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. We're standing very much on Lenin and Abbey territory. I am a settler on stolen land. What does that have to deal with Palestine? Well, we're in the business of propaganda, whether we like to admit it or not. And so the question is, do people want a revolution, an actual revolution, a real revolution? Do they want to be revolutionary, or do they want to sell ciphers, opinions on the internet? Because revolutions require on-the-ground organizing work. This is stolen land. America is leading this war. And the chickens are coming home to roost, as Malcolm had noted. This ain't no American dream, it was always an American nightmare. We're fighting for the rights of indigenous people to assert their own sovereignty, their own governance, their own ways of living. Then we need to contend with that here. We can't lie to ourselves. What the free Palestine, what about land back here? Again, America is leading this war. What is land back halal with regards to Palestine, but not here? Not the free Palestine, free over here. What does it mean for Palestine to be free? What does it mean for Turtle Island to be free? America is a settler colonial society. Israel is a settler colonial society. Where do you think that they got their that idea from, that structure from? BDS is great. Blocking ports is amazing. Shipping routes, commerce, travel, trade. Even ruining somebody, a white supremacist, powerful day, week, month. Well, how do we go beyond that? We need to really redream, learn how to redream dangerously again.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know a ton about that guy, but he sounds like he almost has an Irish accent. I wonder if he lives in Ireland, which has become wildly anti-Israel and everything else. And it's like, does he strike you as the average Irish person? Connor, you're Irish. Are you related to him in any? But okay, joking aside, guys. So they had visiting professors, non-citizens of the United States that have been fomenting revolution in the United States. And again, he's being very clear. We're just starting with Israel, but America, you're that settler colonial thing, and this is stolen land and blah, blah, blah. So they will gladly genocide every single person watching this. That is what they want to do. There is a plan to destroy the West. And now back to that rotting carcass. So the rotting carcass, that guy is teaching within the rotting carcass that Jordan's talking about. It says Columbia when you walk in, right? You go to the university, there's a nice sign, Columbia, and you think you're going to Columbia University. You think it's a place of higher education, and you're going to learn how to think and all of that stuff. But instead, you walk into a rotting carcass where everyone is just pilfering whatever they can out of the place and starting a revolution to burn down the literal university itself, but the country as a whole. I want to connect this with one other video that you've seen, which is Claudine Gay during that congressional hearing at Harvard, because the rotting carcass, these were the people, it wasn't just the visiting professors, it was the presidents of all of these schools that the same people who told us about trigger warnings, and they told us that we had to be careful about people's feelings and everything else, they were the ones who ushered in this unbridled hate. It was all on their watch, and it was intentional.
And Dr. Gay, at Harvard, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment, yes or no?
It can be, depending on the context.
What's the context?
Targeted as an individual, targeted as at an individual.
It's targeted at Jewish students, Jewish individuals. Do you understand your testimony is dehumanizing them? Do you understand that dehumanization is part of antisemitism? I will ask you one more time. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
Antisemitic rhetoric.
And is it antisemitic rhetoric?
Antisemitic rhetoric when it crosses into conduct that amounts to bullying, harassment, intimidation, that is actionable conduct, and we do take action.
So the answer is yes, that calling for the genocide of Jews violates Harvard Code of Conduct, correct?
Again, it depends on the context.
It does not depend on the context. The answer is yes, and this is why you should resign. These are unacceptable answers across the board.
By the way, Claudine Gay, she has resigned as president of Harvard, but she's keeping her $900,000 a year salary there. I think she's a professor of political science, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it's so absolutely insane. Also, I know you get it about the thing about where she's talking about, well, when the language turns into conduct, which means, okay, so then, yes, when they commit the genocide, we'll be a little upset. But try to imagine her applying that same logic if someone said something bad about trans people or black people or anything else. Anyway, let's connect this to the wider Democrat Party, because they have allowed all of this in, right? There is a jihadist group of Democrats, a Hamas caucus. The good Democrats don't know what to do. A man who had brain damage 6 months ago, John Fetterman, is now literally the standard bearer for the Democrats. He is the best Democrat, a guy who had brain damage. And as his brain damage heals, he becomes more Republican. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Anyway, here's the statement from the White House on what's going on over at Columbia. While every American has the right to peaceful protest, calls for violence and physical intimidation targeting Jewish students and the Jewish community are blatantly anti-Semitic, unconscionable, and dangerous. They have absolutely no place on any college campus or anywhere in the United States of America. And echoing the rhetoric of terrorist organizations, especially in the wake of the worst massacre committed against the Jewish people since the Holocaust, is despicable. We condemn these statements in the strongest terms. So look, I wanted to read that statement because the statement actually is pretty good, and I'll give them credit where credit is due, but we just know it won't translate into anything. The party has been completely lost. Now I want to show you an example of that. AOC went on this guy Mehdi Hasan's show. He was fired from MSNBC because that's how radically I don't even know what to call the guy. He's just awful. Like MSNBC had to get rid of the guy. But I want to show you how none of these ideas work, and none of them, they all sort of know it. They all know that this intersectional evil thing doesn't work, that there is a connection now between a Democratic Party that used to be liberal and isn't liberal anymore, and there's Biden who has dementia, and none of it works anymore. So here is Hasan asking AOC, who is just, well, whatever, she is what she is, asking AOC, how could, you know, these young progressives work vote for Joe Biden?
What do you say to a young progressive or an Arab American who says to you, I just can't vote for Biden again, mm-hmm. after what he's enabled in Gaza? What do you say to them?
I mean, I think everyone comes to this prospect and this conversation with a different history, different background, what they bring. You know, for an individual Palestinian American that has had their family killed, there is nothing. I mean, I am not here to lecture anyone. I also think that this election is more, in my personal view, I believe this election is about more than the president. And also, it's not just one election that's happening. We're having hundreds of elections.
Yes.
The balance of Congress, the balance of the House, the balance of the Senate, and the presidency. And I have a vested interest in protecting democracy, not just here domestically, but globally. And it isn't, I truly do not believe this as a lesser of two evils type of situation. I think about what conditions do I want to be organizing under in the next 4 years.
Do you realize how stupid she is? Like, it's extraordinary. So she has a vested interest in defending democracy here and abroad, right? Well, here, these are the same people. It's the same party that's trying to remove Donald Trump from the ballots. It's the same party that has like 10 different cases going against him, so he can't run for president. And she is obsessively focused on the one democracy in the Middle East, the one place where Arab Muslims, 2 million of them who live in Israel, vote freely and are on the Supreme Court and elsewhere. And that's the place she hates the most. So what she's really telling you there is, because none of this really works, what she's really saying is, I am a party loyalist first, which is exactly what Marxists are. So you can see none of it works, and we can relate that directly back to that Jordan Peterson video, right? None of it works. There was something beautiful. We had a country that made sense. We had ideas that made sense. We had a history that made sense. But now there's just people on the inside eating away at the carcass. Let's watch that video one more time. It's 40 seconds.
I'll tell you about Geppetto.
Okay.
Pinocchio's father. He's in a whale at the mm-hmm. bottom of the ocean.
Sure.
It's never explained in the movie. But everyone accepts it as reasonable, which is completely preposterous. Right? Why would you end up in the belly of a whale if you lost your son? A whale is a carcass. A carcass is a storehouse of value. The modern landscape is littered with storehouses of value. Harvard is a whale carcass. And whale carcasses attract unconscious scavengers. And they live inside, completely incapable of understanding what gave rise to the storehouse of value, but perfectly willing to strip it to its bones. And that's really the situation we're in right now in the West.
Oh, I don't like that very much.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the real question is, are we going to let these people strip away everything good? They might take some certain places, like physical places, and I would say philosophical places. They might take some places of higher education. They might take some states. But we can't let them take the entire damn thing. Like, they cannot do it. But of course, we've been talking about DEI as it pertains to the college campus and what it ultimately leads to, which is calls for genocide of some of the students there. But what the left also did quite well was go after young kids very early. So this will relate us back to the Bill Maher clip up top. Here's James Lindsay, aforementioned James Lindsay, on how the woke use cult tactics to indoctrinate children. And you think maybe if you broke a child's brain when they're five, they might be then calling for genocide when they're 17? Do you think there might be a connection there?
In the book, we document a queer educator named Kevin Kumashiro, who wrote a paper in 2002 called Against Repetition. It means against repetition of the existing normal society. So we need a new not normal society. And so to achieve this, he says, the process of queer education and education for social justice more broadly is to lead children into personal crisis and then structure the environment around them so they resolve the crisis productively. That's trauma bonding. That is a cult technique. You put the children into psychological injury and then you coach them through it, out of it. It's hazing.
So you create anarchy economically, and then we can come in and create socialism. So it's the same thing, but it's at the personal level. You create crisis.
That's right.
For the young person. They're shattered, and then you come in and say, let me answer your questions. You think you're a boy? You're actually a girl. I mean, it sounds demonic.
I think that's a great word for it. I'm not quite sure what demonic means, given my religious
evil
proclivities, but I use the word demonic to describe
evil.
This. It's patently evil. It's completely a destructive cult that's based on sex that overwhelmingly targets children, but that, by the way, has very little to do with gay people. In fact, it uses gay people. It hides behind them like human shields.
He's just the best, James. Let's get James back on. So the interesting point there, of course, is how they're breaking the children's brains. But Seb Gorka, who's is the host of the show there, what he shows is that this is directly related to what they've done with the economy and society at large. So the Democrat cities are run horribly. They allow for crime, they allow for drug use, they allow for squatters' rights, and they allow sanctuary cities and all of these things. And then the city breaks down, and then they point to that as the evidence that none of it works. Thus, we need the revolution. And then, as Seb points out, that's what they're now doing on the personal level with the children. They break their brains so that they think that they're girls. They don't know up is down. They think that up is down and left is right and all of those things. They think that they live on stolen land and that their history is evil and their ancestors were conquerors and that their skin color makes them guilty. And then after, I don't know, say 10, 15 years of hearing that, they end up wearing a mask at a protest and burning down American flags and calling for death to America. These things are directly connected. But let's continue this a little bit further with what the Democrats are doing right now. One of the things that the Democrats are doing are going after Title IX and as it relates to women's sports and men in women's sports, which years ago, if you would have said, I'm a man and I want to be in women's sports, people would have said, no, but now we say, okay, how big is your penis? Here you go.
Today, the Biden administration dropped their much-anticipated rewrite of Title IX. This new rewrite is going to affect women and girls substantially. In the rewrite, they stated that sex is now equivalent to gender identity. What this means is men can take academic and athletic scholarships from women. Men can have full access to women's bathrooms and locker rooms. Men can be housed in women's dorms. And worst of all, students and faculty members alike are going to be forced to use preferred pronouns. Specifically, it is sexual harassment if you do not use the preferred pronouns for an individual. This rewrite undermines all the original efforts of Title IX. It is more important now than ever for us women and girls to speak up against this unlawful rewrite of Title IX. And to the Biden administration, thanks for showing us that you do not stand with women and girls and do not care about all the hard work we've done to fight for our rights.
All right, so while a guy like Bill Maher is putting up a stop sign saying, hey, crazy people, you guys, you're just progressing, but you're about to progress off the cliff, what the Democrat machine is doing is putting its foot on the pedal, right? It is still going. And you will have boys taking over every girl's sports. You will have average boys who can't make the basketball team on the boys' side, who can't make the wrestling team or the swimming team. And they will say, pump me up with some drugs, and now I am the number one girl swimmer. And this will be done in the name of feminism and equity and everything else. And then what will you do? You know, we have a lost generation of boys, obviously, for a series of reasons, constantly being told that they're horrible and evil and everything else. And then what will you do to a generation of girls A generation of girls who won't make sports teams if they want to, who will have to be in showers with boys and all of the rest of it. Just a little bit more. We got some bullet points on what this new version of Title IX looks like. Men can take academic and athletic scholarships from women. Men will have full access to bathrooms, locker rooms, etc. Men could be housed in dorm rooms with women. Student and faculty must compel their speech by requiring the use of preferred pronouns. Do you guys remember, for those of you that have been playing along with the Rubin Report for years, do you remember that there was a little known Canadian professor named Jordan Peterson who what was it? It was 2015, 16, rough about 8 or 9 years ago, was warning that there was a bill in Canada called C-17 that as it related to compelled speech with people's pronouns, and people said he was a right-wing maniac for saying it, and now it is literally happening on our college campuses, of course ushered in by the lunatics of the Democrat Party. But they are losing some of the base. So, you know, okay, you've heard me talk about Bill Maher enough, but there are some other people who would be traditionally, I would say, classically liberal, who suddenly are voting the right way. I want to show you two clips here of Megyn Kelly. She drops a surprise in the second one, but here she is, Megyn, who's been an unbelievable advocate for women's sports and for true feminism, and her own life is just an example of a woman who is like loud and proud and hear me roar. Here she is going off on these new changes that the Biden administration just did with Title IX.
And I voted for Donald Trump to prevent things like this. What happened today. And when I saw the news on what Joe Biden just did to women's rights and Title IX and due process for young men on college campuses and free speech, I was horrified. And my second reaction was, at least I don't have this blood on my hands. I'm ashamed of him. I'm disgusted at you, Miguel Cardona. Shame on you. What's happened today as a result of the change in Title IX is that your daughter, or you, if you are a college-age woman, will now have to go into your college bathroom, your college locker room, and be faced with men posing as women, many of whom are only there because they get off on wearing women's clothing. They literally will have erections because they're wearing a dress into the women's locker room. Your kid's gonna have to look at it, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
But how do you really feel, Megyn? Anyway, I just adore her, and it's direct, and it's true, and it's clean, and when she's pissed, it is obvious. That is not her default setting. Like, she is one of the most lovely people that I've met in all the years of doing any of this. But now I want to connect that to, while you might look at the Bill Maher guy and go, okay, you're not going to vote the right way, well, here's Megyn Kelly talking about who she's endorsing in 24.
I had a long, contentious relationship with Donald Trump. You may be aware. And going into 2020, I didn't know whether I could pull the lever for him. I really didn't. The world had shifted under our feet. It had gone crazy with DEI and with the trans ideology nonsense, which was being shoved down my own kids' throats at school. And I really wrestled with it. You guys heard me wrestle with it on this program. I went in and I told her after the election who I voted for in 2020. And I've never shared this publicly. I don't talk about who I'd vote for as a journalist. I never have, but I'm going to today. And I told her I voted for Donald Trump. And I almost cried because this woman and I had been through a lot. I'd had a breast cancer scare. Thank God it wasn't anything. She got me through. And she knew what Trump had put me through for that year and how hard it was on my family and so on. I don't want to get back into it. And she said, why? And I told her that it wasn't about me. It was about my concern for this country and my children and what was happening in particular in this culture lane, but in other lanes as well.
All right, so Megyn went on to say that she is endorsing Donald Trump in 2024. So not only as a journalist, that she doesn't share that stuff. And Donald Trump has gone after her personally, right? We all remember that from the election before, from the 2016 election. But there she is saying, it's not about me. There are bigger issues here. So she voted for Donald Trump in 2020, and she is going to vote for him in 24. You know, what's interesting about my own relationship to Donald Trump and voting is very similar, and I suspect many of you are too. I didn't vote for Trump in 2016. As you guys know, I voted for Gary Johnson, the Libertarian. I didn't know what I was going to do when I got in there, and I should be judged accordingly. Now, what's the slight difference with Megan is that I very proudly and happily voted for Trump in 2020. I was excited and psyched to vote for Trump in 2020. So I was there a little bit before her, but the point is, it doesn't matter when you get there as long as you get there. And Megyn Kelly talks to an awful lot of particularly women in that sort of center area. But another person who has really been making news lately, she was on the show last week, Sage Steele, formerly of ESPN, had this to say as it relates to this crazy Title IX situation. She said, I hope Megan Rapinoe, Sue Bird, and Becky Sauerbrunn, and the handful of other women who supported this ridiculousness are happy. Those women who I've always admired would never have been able to compete past junior high school if they had to compete against boys, and they know it. But obviously they don't care. They got their fame, they got their money. I guess that's all that matters. Shame on them and shame on our leadership, quote unquote leadership, in the White House, who has erased 52 years of hard work by so many. Sad day in sports, sad day in America. It is. If you care about women, if you care about equality and you want girls that like sports to go out there and be able to compete, and not be crushed and dunked on and choked and body slammed, then you should be against this. But the point is, we don't have enough people who stand up to stand up for what they believe in, and thus Columbia can be burning down in the name of destroying Israel, which of course really just means destroying America, and most people don't know what to do. So let me show you a little clip of my sit down with Sage, because I don't think she was really designed originally to be in this fight. She wanted to be an ESPN anchor. She wanted to talk sports her entire life. And then when sports got political, she started talking about it. And then when sports got COVID crazy, she started talking about it. Now she's in the fight, and she's proudly in the fight, and we need more of her.
I hate the way that as a company ESPN chose to go. Don't we want everybody to watch our network? Don't you want everybody to buy your products? Why are we you're not going to make money. It's not a good business model. What did Michael Jordan say in the 80s? Republicans buy sneakers too. It's very simple. I've been saying this. I mean, I feel like there's just way too much money to be made to leave racism alone. So many Americans are choosing to push these narratives and choosing to divide us further. We've been silent for too long and accepted it, and no more. I feel like God put me here to speak up. And I'm emotional for that reason, because I can't believe that it's me. And I'm grateful. Pray that others will not wait as long as I did, including first and foremost my kids. They don't wait till they're in their late 40s, 50 to be like, no, that's not okay. And here's why.
So God put her here for this, and now she's in and she's fighting. And we need more people to fight. And if I may end the show today talking about that God guy for just a moment, tonight is the first night of Passover. Passover, of course, is the story of the Jews. They were known as the Hebrews at the time. If you saw the Ten Commandments movie, the Hebrews, the Jews, exodus from Egypt to the promised land known as Israel. It is a story about slaves leaving bondage and finding freedom. I thought we could close the show today. This isn't a cold close. I'll come back after. With a little compilation, we cut it down a little bit, of a PragerU video by Dennis himself about the significance of Passover.
Passover is not only the world's oldest holiday, it is also the world's most important holiday. And why is the Exodus so important? For the first time in history, the primary religious book of a civilization went on record as identifying its God with liberating slaves. The gods of every other nation either said nothing about slavery or endorsed it. But the God of the Exodus liberated an enslaved nation. And he not only liberated Jews, the book of Exodus records that a multitude of peoples left Egypt with the Jews. Harriet Tubman, the famous runaway slave who later helped fellow slaves escape to freedom. She became known as the Black Moses and used Go Down Moses as a code to communicate with fleeing slaves. The Exodus not only inspired slaves in America, it equally inspired free people in America. Two of America's founders, Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, designed a great seal for the United States. And what did that seal depict? The Exodus. Every year, for more than 3,000 years, Jews have kept the memory of the Exodus alive by celebrating Passover. Adding to Passover's significance is the generally agreed-to fact that Jesus' Last Supper was the Passover Seder. The New Testament Gospel of Mark records, on the first day of the festival of Matzah, that's the biblical name for Passover, it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb. So yes, Passover is the most important holiday in history, telling the world that God is on the side of slaves, not masters. Were there no Passover, there would be no Jews, no Christians, no Western civilization, but a lot of slaves.
Which side do you want to be on? That is the question. I will be celebrating the Seder with family tonight, and I will assuredly drink all four cups of wine. I hope for those of you that celebrate, you do. And for those of you that are not Jewish, you might just want to think of the story for the reasons that Dennis just laid out. We will beat these people. It is a fact. It is written in the code. It's by design. And I'm fairly certain that if the Hebrews could get away from the king of Egypt, that we will survive the genderqueer furry weirdos of Colombia. We've got a post-game show at rubinreport.locals.com in about 30 seconds, and people on the internet live at 1 p.m. Ciao.
Bobby, wait, we'll go back inside and apologize. You can still play swell, listen.
What are you talking about? This was it. What do you think I've been working the past 10 years of my life for? I was gonna be the youngest world champ in the history of the game. That's over now. They stole it from me, Carmine. They took it. That was today! Today!
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at rubinreport.locals.com.